Maybe the Fed should consider kicking out one leg of its stimulus at a time. From APM, I'm David Brancaccio via the studios this week of the BBC in London with the Marketplace Midday Update. A prominent American central banker has spoken out saying his Federal Reserve needs to be especially careful about real estate at that impending dicey moment when interest rates start going up. William Dudley is chairman of the New York Fed. To help us with this, we turn to Philip Swagel, an economist at the University of Maryland who used to work at the Fed and the White House. Professor, good morning.
Hi, David. Good morning.
So the New York Fed president says eventually there comes a time when interest rates have to start going up. We all know this. He said that maybe we shouldn't complicate this slightly jittery moment to come with what?
The Fed looks at the economy and sees that it has to normalize interest rates, but it doesn't want to do it in a way that makes the recovery stop. So it's trying to figure out how to exit from its zero interest rate policy, and it's never been done before, and it's very hard.
And people need to know that the Fed owns a lot of mortgages. Our friendly central bank tries to support the real estate market in this way. So the New York Fed president doesn't want us to stop buying new mortgages right at that same moment that the interest rates start popping up?
That's right. I mean, as part of its quantitative easing, the Fed has been buying trillions of dollars of mortgages, and it doesn't want to start selling those because if it does, the Fed worries that interest rates for homeowners will go up and then the housing market will stall.
It's a bit of a balancing act for our friends at the Fed. You know, we want the economy to be healthy. We don't think it needs extra stimulus, but maybe the real estate market needs a little bit.
One of the challenges for the Fed is that historically the Fed has not tried to pick a certain sector, right? The Fed will have an interest rate for the whole economy and not try to say, well, look, we want to favor housing or favor automobile purchases. And New York Fed President Dudley is really tiptoeing into that to say, we think housing is especially important and maybe we want to support it even while we tighten on the rest of the economy.
Philip Swagel at the University of Maryland, thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Now let us check the markets. Starting with London's Borough Market, where there's been food for sale at that spot for an even 1,000 years. Now, if you want a turnip these days, Charles Frederick Foster's your man.
When we first came here, it was a wholesale, dying wholesale market, so we had none of this. It was us wholesaling and a couple of other wholesalers, and that's completely died out. Now the retail market's taken up, so even 5 years ago, this would have been dead. All the bars, shops, everything you see around here is completely because of this market popping up, which is amazing, really. A lot of tourists now, because it's gone quite a popular thing, but you still get a few locals sort of Thursday, Friday. Nice mixture, really. Lots of young couples as well. It's a nice day out for them.
We're in the British capital on the week that PricewaterhouseCoopers labeled London the heart of the global economy, with the city moving up to number one on its annual ranking, passing New York and Singapore. According to this analysis, London is the foremost, quote, economic powerhouse and center for culture, education, and innovation. This accolade could go some way to soothe this city's wounded pride. London recently lost its crown as the world's top financial center, accent on financial. Marketplace's Stephen Beard filed this report.
On special occasions, the city plays this march from Handel's opera Scipione about the all-conquering Roman general. But in recent weeks, there's been a slight whiff of decline and fall in London's financial district.
For the first time, London has fallen below New York. So New York is now number one, London's number two.
Mark Yendall compiles the Global Financial Centre Index, asking bankers, brokers, fund managers and lawyers around the world to rate financial centres.
London has dropped more points than anybody else, any other centre in the top 50.
He says confidence in the city has been dented by scandals, including bankers and dealers here manipulating the LIBOR interest rate.
London used to have a reputation of being pretty squeaky clean. We now know that London isn't quite as angelic as some people believed a number of years ago.
25-40. 20-20. Change.
The latest allegation that city traders also rigged foreign exchange dealing hasn't helped. But David Slater, who promotes the British capital, says regulators are cracking down. And he points out the city's share of the world's biggest market hasn't suffered at all. Far from it.
5 years ago, we had 40% of the global foreign exchange. Now that's up to 50%. So that's certainly going in the right direction and shows that there's confidence in the market.
For all their abuses and bungling before the crisis, city financiers have proved adept at picking up new business, says London-based economist Andrew Hilton.
In some areas, like trading of the Chinese currency, the renminbi, we're actually ahead of the game. There is already an offshore renminbi centre in London, and we're doing a lot of business there.
The city, which revels in tradition, has also proved itself technologically savvy. London, according to this week's PwC survey, is now one of the world's top high-tech hubs. But like the financial markets, this city's fortunes will fluctuate. If Scotland votes for independence in September, London could face some real turbulence. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And there's news just now that eBay, the online auction site, has uncovered a cyber attack that left some non-financial information of customers vulnerable. The apparent hacking took place in February and March, but the birth dates, home addresses, phone numbers might have been grabbed. eBay is asking people to change passwords ASAP. Out of London this week, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.